down the hallway to his doom. And I stood up to say goodbye like all the rest. And I heard him tell the warden just before he reached my cell, let my guitar play in friend in my request. Let him sing me back home for the song I used to hear. Make my old memories come alive. I recall last Sunday morning, a choir from off the street came in to sing a few old gospel songs. And I heard him tell the singers, there's a song my mama sang. Could I hear it once before you along? Won't you sing me back home with the song I used to hear? Make my old memories come alive. Take me away and turn back the years.
The great Merle Haggard on AM 1230 KERV, Sing Me Back Home. Time is 2:09 on your Wednesday afternoon, April 6th. Word has arrived that Merle Ronald Haggard, born April 6th, 1937, has passed today, this April 6th, 2016. He was an American country and western songwriter, a singer, a guitarist, fiddler, and instrumentalist. And along with Buck Owens, Merle and his band, The Strangers, helped create the Bakersfield sound, characterized by the unique twang of the Fender Telecaster and the mix of the traditional country steel guitar sound, new vocal harmony styles, in which the words are minimal and a rough edge, not heard on the more polished Nashville sound recordings of the same era. By the 1970s, Haggard was aligned with the growing outlaw country movement, and he continued to release successful albums through the 1990s and into the 2000s. In 1994, he was inducted in the Country Music Hall of Fame. 1997, he was inducted in the Oklahoma Music Hall of Fame. Merle Haggard has left us. We're going to spend this hour remembering Merle Haggard here on AM 1230. This is Gordon Ames. I am the Big G's Texas Roadshow. So we're going to play some Merle for you today, including this one, one of his big ones that no one will ever forget.
We don't smoke marijuana in Muskogee. We don't take our trips on LSD. We don't burn our trap cars down on Main Street. 'Cause we like living right and being free. We don't party out of loving, but we like holding hands and pitching woo. We don't let our hair go long and shaggy like the hippies out in San Francisco do. And I'm proud to be an Okie from Muskogee.
in style for manly footwear. Beads and Roman sandals won't be seen. And football's still the roughest thing on campus. And the kids here still respect the college dean. Down at the courthouse, white lightning still the biggest thrill of all, and white lightning still the biggest thrill of all.
Merle Haggard on the road show this morning, this afternoon. That is Okie from Muskogee. Merle's parents, Flossie Mae Harp and James Francis Haggard, moved to California from their home in Chocota, Oklahoma during the Great Depression after their barn burned in 1934. They settled with their children, Lowell and Lillian, in an apartment in Bakersfield while James Francis Haggard started working for the Santa Fe Railroad. Merle was born April 6, 1937. His father died of a brain hemorrhage in 1945, which deeply affected Merle during his childhood and the rest of his life. To support the family, his mother worked as a bookkeeper. His brother Lowell gave Haggard his used guitar as a gift when he was 12 years old. He learned to play alone with the records he had at home, influenced by Bob Wills, Lefty Frizzell, and Hank Williams. As his mother was absent due to work, Haggard became progressively rebellious. His mother sent him for a weekend to a juvenile detention center to change his attitude, which worsened.
First thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one could change my mind but Mama tried. The one and only rebel child from a family meek and mild, my Mama seemed to know what lay in store. Out of all my Sunday learning, towards the bad I kept on turning, till Mama couldn't hold me anymore. And I turned 21 in prison, doing life without parole. No one could steer me right, but Mama tried. Mama tried, Mama tried to raise me better, but her pleading I denied. That leaves only me to blame, 'cause Mama tried. Dear old daddy, rest his soul, left my mom a heavy load. She tried so very hard to fill his shoes. Working hours without rest, wanted me to have the best. She tried to raise me right, but I refused. And I turned 21 in prison, doing life without parole. No one could steer me right, but Mama tried. Mama tried, Mama tried to raise me better, but her pleading I denied. That leaves only me to blame, 'cause Mama tried.
That is Mama Tried by Merle Haggard. Merle had committed a number of minor offenses, such as thefts and writing bad checks. He was sent to a juvenile detention center for shoplifting in 1950. When he was 14, he ran away to Texas with his friend Bob Teague. He rode freight trains and hitchhiked throughout the state. When he returned the same year, he and his friend were arrested for robbery. Haggard and Teague were released when the real robbers were found. Haggard later sent to the juvenile detention center, from which he and his friend escaped again to Modesto, California. He worked a series of laborer jobs, including driving a potato truck, being a short order cook, a hay pitcher, and an oil well shooter. His debut performance was with Teague in a Modesto bar named the Fun Center, being paid $5 with free beer. He returned to Bakersfield in 1951, was again arrested for truancy and petty larceny, and sent to a juvenile detention center. After another escape, he was sent to Preston School of Industry, a high-security installation. Released 15 months later, he was sent back after beating a local boy during a burglary attempt. After his release, Haggard and Teague saw Lefty Frizzell in concert. And after hearing Haggard sing along to his songs backstage, Frizzell refused to sing unless Haggard would be allowed to sing first. He sang songs that were well received by the audience. Due to the positive reception, Haggard decided to pursue a career in music. While working as a farmhand or in oil fields, he played in nightclubs. He eventually landed a spot on the local television show Chuck Wagon in 1956.
And be proud of who I am, but they won't let my secret go untold. I paid the debt I owed them, but they're still not satisfied. Now I'm a branded man out in the cold. When they held my head up high, determined I would rise above the shame. But no matter where I'm living, the black mark follows me. I'm branded with a number on my name. Be proud of who I am, but they won't let my secret go untold. I paid the debt I owed them, but they're still not satisfied. Now I'm a branded man out in the cold. If I live to be 100, I guess I'll never clear my name. 'Cause everybody knows I've been in jail. No matter where I'm living, I got to tell them where I've been, or they'll send me back to prison if I fail. Be proud of who I am, but they won't let my secret go untold. I paid the debt I owed them, but they're still not satisfied. Now I'm a branded man out in the cold. Branded man out in the cold.
Married and plagued by financial issues, he was arrested in 1957 shortly after he tried to rob a Bakersfield roadhouse. Merle was sent to Bakersfield jail and was later transferred after an escape attempt to San Quentin prison on February 21, 1958. While in prison, Haggard discovered that his wife was expecting a child from another man, which pressed him psychologically. He was fired from a series of prison jobs and planned to escape along with another inmate named Rabbit. Haggard was convinced not to escape by fellow inmates. He started to run a gambling and brewing racket with his cellmate. After he was caught drunk, he was sent for a week to solitary confinement where he encountered Carol Chessman, an author and death row inmate. Meanwhile, Rabbit had successfully escaped only to shoot a police officer and return to San Quentin for execution. Chessman's predicament, along with the execution of Rabbit, inspired Haggard to turn his life around. Haggard soon earned a high school equivalency diploma and kept a steady job in the prison's textile plant, while also playing for the prison's country music band, attributing a 1958 performance by Johnny Cash at the prison as his main inspiration to join it. Upon his release in 1960, Haggard said it took about 4 months to get used to being out of the penitentiary, and that at times he actually wanted to go back in. He said it was the loneliest he had ever felt.
used to laugh a lot. We never cried. But things are all different now, since your sweet love has died. Seems we've lost the way to find all the good times we found before. Yeah, we used to laugh a lot. Things aren't funny anymore. If I knew how to change your mind, maybe things could be right again. If I could turn back one page of time before love came to an end, I'd know just where to turn. To turn it all on once more. Maybe we laughed too soon. Things aren't funny anymore.
According to Rolling Stone magazine, in 1972, then-California Governor Ronald Reagan expunged Haggard's criminal record, granting him a full pardon. Upon his release, Haggard started digging ditches and wiring houses for his brother. Soon, he was performing again, and later began recording with Tally Records. The Bakersfield sound was developing in the area as a reaction against the overproduced honky-tonk of the Nashville sound. His first song was Skid Row. In 1962, Haggard wound up performing at a Wynn Stewart show in Las Vegas and heard Wynn sing a sad song. He asked for permission to record it, and the resulting single was a national hit in 1964. The following year, he had his first national top 10 record with My Friends Are Gonna Be Strangers, written by Liz Anderson, mother of country singer Lynn Anderson, and his career was off and running. In his 1981 autobiography, Merle Haggard, Sing Me Back Home, Haggard recalls having been talked into visiting Anderson, a woman he didn't know, at her house to hear her sing some songs she had written. If there was anything I didn't want to do, it was sit around some dang woman's house and listen to her cute little songs. But I went anyway. She was a pleasant enough lady, pretty, with a nice smile. But I was all set to be bored to death, even more so when she got out the whole bunch of songs and went over to an old pump organ. There they were, my God, one hit after another. There must have been four or five number one songs there. In 1966, Haggard recorded his first number one song, I'm a Lonesome Fugitive, also written by Liz Anderson, which Haggard acknowledges in his autobiography remains as the most popular number with audiences. Haggard felt a connection to the song immediately when it was released and became his first number one country hit. When Anderson played the song for Haggard, she was unaware about his prison stretch. I guess I didn't realize how much the experience at San Quentin did to him, because he never talked about it all that much. Bonnie Owens, Haggard's backup singer and then wife, is quoted by music journalist Daniel Cooper in the liner notes of the 1994 retrospective Down Every Road. I could tell he was in a dark mood. And I said, is everything okay? And he said, I'm really scared. And I said, why? He said, because I'm afraid someday I'm going to be out there, and there's going to be some convict, some prisoner that was in there at the same time I was in, stand up, and they're going to be about the third row down and say, what do you think you're doing, 45,200? Cooper notes that the news had little effect on Haggard's career. It's unclear when or where Merle first acknowledged to the public that his prison songs were rooted in personal history. For to his credit, he doesn't seem to have made some big splash announcement. In May 1967, profile in Music City News, his prison record is never mentioned. But in July 1968, in the very same publication, it's spoken of as if it were common knowledge.
Most of my life, I've almost been a winner. I've come so close, but never really won. Just when I thought I finally made it, I found myself back where I started from. I hate to say I'm giving up, but I believe losing's just become a way of life for me. Losing wouldn't be so bad at all, but I'm always on a mountain when I fall. Then you came along and had me believing. For once in my life, my luck had finally changed. And now you say you're gonna leave me. Seems everything I do winds up the same. I hate to say I'm giving up, but I believe losing's just become a way of life for me. Losing wouldn't be so bad at all, but I'm always on a mountain when I fall. Losing wouldn't be so bad at all, but I'm always on a mountain when I fall.
The 1966 album Branded Man kicked off an incredible artistic run for Haggard in 2013. His biographer David Cantwell says that the immediate successors of our two I'm a Lonesome Fugitive and Branded Man in 67 and 68, Sing Me Back Home and The Legend Bonnie and Clyde were among the finest albums of their respective years. Haggard's new recordings largely centered around Roy Nichols' Telecaster, Ralph Mooney's steel guitar, and the harmony vocals provided by Bonnie Owens. At the time of Haggard's first top 10 hit, My Friends Are Gonna Be Strangers in 1965, Owens was actually the better-known performer, a fixture on the Bakersfield club scene who had recorded and appeared on television. Bonnie, who'd been married to Buck Owens, won the new Academy of Country Music first ever award for female vocalist after her 1965 debut album, Don't Take Advantage of Me, hit the top five on country albums chart. However, there were no more hit singles, and although Owens recorded six solo albums on Capitol between 1965 and 70, she became mainly known for her background harmonies on Haggard hits like Sing Me Back Home and Branded Man. Producer Ken Nelson took a hands-off approach to producing Haggard. In the episode of American Masters dedicated to him, Haggard remembers the producer I had at the time, Ken Nelson, was an exception to the rule. He called me Mr. Haggard, and I was a little over 25-year-old punk from Oildale. He gave me complete responsibility. I think if he jumped in and said, oh, you can't do that, it would have destroyed me. In the documentary series Lost Highway, Nelson recalls, when I first started recording Merle, I became so enamored with his singing that I would forget what else was going on, and I suddenly realized, wait a minute, there's musicians here and you've got to worry about, but his songs, he was a great writer. Towards the end of the decade, Haggard went on a songwriting tear, composing several number hits as Mama Tried, Hungry Eyes, Sing Me Back Home, and the legend of Bonnie and Clyde.
Bonnie was a waitress in a small cafe. Clyde Barrow was the rounder that took her away. They both robbed and killed until both of them died. So goes the legend of Bonnie and Clyde. The poems that she wrote of the life that they led. She told of the lawmen left dying or dead. Some said Clyde made her life a shame, but the legend made Bonnie the head of the game. The rampage grew wilder with each passing day, the odds growing smaller with each getaway. With the end growing closer, the harder they fought. With blood on their hands, they were bound to get caught. They drove back from town on one bright summer day, when a man they befriended stepped out in the way. With no thought of dying, they pulled to the side, but death lay there waiting for Bonnie and Clyde. 2 years of running was ended that day, for robbing and killing they both had to pay. But we'll always remember how they lived and died. So goes the legend of Bonnie and Clyde. Bonnie and Clyde. Bonnie and Clyde.
The legend of Bonnie and Clyde. Okie from Muskogee, 1969's apparent political statement was, according to some Merle Haggard interviews decades later, actually written as a humorous character portrait in one such interview. Haggard called the song a documentation of the uneducated that live in America at the time. However, he later said on the Bob Edwards show that, "I wrote it when I recently got out of the joint. I knew what it was like to lose my freedom, and I was getting really mad at these protesters. They didn't know anything more about the war in Vietnam than I did. I thought how my dad, who was from Oklahoma, would have felt. Felt I knew how those boys fighting in Vietnam felt." In the country music documentary series Lost Highway, he elaborates, "My dad passed away when I was 9. And I don't know if you've ever thought about somebody you've lost and you say, I wonder what so-and-so would think about this. I was driving on Interstate 40 and I saw a sign that said 19 miles to Muskogee. Muskogee was always referred to in my childhood as back home, so I saw a sign and that my whole childhood flashed before my eyes, and I thought, I wonder what Dad would think about the youthful uprising that was occurring at this time, the Janis Joplins. I understood him, I got along with it, but what if he was to come alive at this moment? And I thought, what a way to describe the kind of people in America that are still sitting in the center of the country saying, what's going on these campuses? The American Masters episode about his life and career, however, a more defiant Haggard states that the song was more than a satire. That's how I got into it with the hippies. I thought they were unqualified to judge America, and I thought they were looking down their noses at something that I cherished very much, and it made me mad. And I thought, you've never been restricted away from this great, wonderful country, yet here you are in the streets bitching about things, protesting about a war they didn't know any more about than I did. They weren't over there fighting that war any more than I was." Haggard began performing the song in concert in the fall of 1969 and was astounded at the reaction it received. The Haggard camp knew they were onto something. Everywhere they went, every show, Okie did more than prompt enthusiastic applause. There was an unanticipated adulation racing through crowds now, standing ovations that went on and on, sometimes left the audience and the band members alike teary-eyed. Merle had somehow stumbled upon a song that expressed previously inchoate fears, spoke out loud gripes and anxieties otherwise only whispered. Now people were using his song, were using him to connect themselves to these larger concerns and to one another. The studio version, which we played earlier in the show, which is far mellower than the usually raucous concert versions, topped the charts in the fall of 1969, where it remained for a month and hit number 41 on the pop charts, becoming Haggard's all-time biggest hit until his 1973 crossover Christmas smash, If We Make It Through December, another signature tune. It is 2:37. This is AM 1230. This is Gordon Ames, Big G, and I am sad to announce the news that we have lost the great Merle Haggard, 79 years since his birthday, and we're just trying to pay a little tribute to Merle today.
If we make it through December, everything's gonna be all right, I know. It's the coldest time of winter, and I shiver when I see the falling snow. if we make it through December. Got plans to be in a warmer town come summertime. Maybe even California. If we make it through December, we'll be fine. Got laid off down at the factory, and their time is not the greatest in the world. Heaven knows I've been working hard. Wanted Christmas to be right for Daddy's girl. I don't mean to hate December. It's meant to be the happy time of year. And my little girl don't understand why Daddy can't afford no Christmas here. If we make it through December, everything's gonna be alright, I know. It's the coldest time of winter, and I shiver when I see the falling snow. If we make it through December, got plans to be in a warmer town come summertime. Maybe even California. If we make it through December, we'll be fine.
If we make it through December, from Merle Haggard. Haggard was beginning to attract attention from artists outside the country field, such as crooner Dean Martin, who recorded I Take a Lot of Pride in What I Am for his album of the same name in 1969. In addition, the Graham Parsons incarnation of the Byrds had performed Sing Me Back Home on the Grand Ole Opry and had recorded Haggard's Life in Prison for their album Sweetheart of the Rodeo the same year. In 1969, the Grateful Dead began performing Haggard's tune Mama Tried, which appeared on their 1971 eponymous live album. The song became a staple in their repertoire until the band's end in 1995. Joan Baez, whose political leanings could not be more different from those expressed in Haggard's above-referenced songs, nonetheless covered Sing Me Back Home and Mama Tried in 1969. The Everly Brothers also used both songs in their 1968 country rock album Roots. In the original Rolling Stone review for Haggard's 1968 album Mama Tried, Andy Wickham wrote that his songs romanticized the hardships and tragedies of America's transient proletarian, and his success is a result of his inherent ability to relate to his audience a commonplace experience with precisely the right emotional pitch. Merle Haggard looks the part and sounds the part because he is the part. He's great. However, the next single, 1970's The Fight Inside of Me, was so unapologetically right-wing that it left no doubt as to where Haggard stood politically. It became his fourth consecutive number one country hit and also made an appearance on the pop chart, but any ideas that Haggard was a closeted liberal sympathizer were irretrievably squashed. In the song, Haggard allows that he doesn't mind the counterculture switching sides or standing up for what they believe in, but resolutely declares, if you don't love it, leave it. In May 1970, Haggard explained to John Grisham of Rolling Stone, I don't like their views on life, their filth, their visible self-disrespect, you know. They don't care what they look like or what they smell like. What do they have to offer humanity? Ironically, Haggard had wanted to follow Okie from Muskogee with Irma Jackson, a song that dealt head-on with the interracial romance between a white man and African-American woman. His producer, Ken Nelson, discouraged him from releasing it as a single. As Jonathan Bernstein recounts in his online Rolling Stone article, Merle Haggard reluctantly unveils The Fight Inside of Me, hoping to distance himself from the harshly right-wing image he had accrued in the wake of the hippie-bashing Muskogee. Haggard wanted to take a different direction and release Irma Jackson as his next single. When the Bakersfield, California native brought the song to his record label, executives were reportedly appalled. In the wake of Okie, Capitol Records was not interested in complicating Haggard's conservative blue-collar image. After The Fight Inside of Me was released, instead, Haggard later commented to the Wall Street Journal, people are narrow-minded down south. They might have called me names. In an interview in 2001, he said that Nelson, who was also head of the country division at Capitol at the time, never interfered with his music, but this one time he came out and said, Merle, I don't believe the world is ready for this yet, and he might have been right. I might have canceled out where I was headed in my career.
Things I learned in a hobo jungle were things they never taught me in a classroom. Like where to find a handout while bumming through Chicago in the afternoon. Hey, I'm not bragging or complaining, I'm just talking to myself, man to man. This old mental fat I'm chewing didn't take a lot of doing, but I take a lot of pride in what I am. I guess I grew up a loner. I don't remember ever having any folks around. But I keep thumbing through the phone books and looking for my daddy's name in every town. And I meet lots of friendly people, but I always wind up leaving on the lam. Hey, where I've been or where I'm going didn't take a lot of knowing, but I take a lot of pride in what I am. I never traveled hurry, 'cause I got nobody waiting for me anywhere. Home is anywhere I'm living, if it's sleeping on some vacant banks in City Square. Or if I'm working on some road gang, or just living off the fat of our great land. I've never been nobody's idol, but at least I got a title, and I take a lot of pride in what I am. I've never been nobody's idol, but at least I got a title, and I take a lot of pride in what I am. I take a lot of pride in what I am. Pride in what I am.
Okie from Muskogee, the fight inside of me, and I wonder if they think of me, were hailed as anthems of the silent majority, and presaged a trend in patriotic songs that would reappear years later with Charlie Daniels' In America, Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA, and others. Haggard's next LP was a tribute to the best damn fiddle player in the world, dedicated to Bob Wills, which helped spark a permanent revival and expanded audience for Western Swing. By this point, Haggard was one of the most famous country singers in the world, having enjoyed an immensely successful artistic and commercial run with Capitol, accumulating 24 number one country singles since 1966. On Tuesday, March 14, 1972, shortly after Carolyn became another one country hit, another number one country hit, then California Governor Ronald Reagan granted Haggard a full pardon for his past crimes. In the fall of 72, Let Me Tell You About a Song, the first TV special starring Merle Haggard, was nationally syndicated by Capital Cities TV Productions. It was a semi-autographical musical profile of Haggard, akin to the contemporary Behind the Music, produced and directed by Michael Davis. The 1973 recession anthem, If We Make It Through December, furthered Haggard's status as a champion of the working class. If We Make It Through December turned out to be Haggard's last pop hit. Haggard appeared on the cover of Time, May 6, 1974. He also wrote and performed the theme song to the television series Moving On, which in 1975 gave him another number one country hit.
Big wheels rolling, moving on. Big wheels rolling, gotta keep them going. Big wheels rolling, moving on. The white line is the lifeline to a nation, and men like Will and Sonny make it move. Living like a gypsy, always on the go, doing
doing what they best know how to do. Jamming gears has got to be a fever, 'cause men become addicted to the grind. It takes a special breed to be a truck driving man, and a steady hand to pull that load behind. Big wheels rolling, big wheels rolling, moving on. Big wheels rolling, gotta keep them going. Big wheels rolling, moving on. Music keeps them going, and Will and Sonny keep on moving on. A good hot cup of coffee is waiting up ahead, and the rhythm of the highway hums along. Jamming gears has got to be a fever, 'cause men become addicted to the grind. It takes a special breed to be a truck driving man, and a steady hand to pull that load behind. Big wheels rolling, big wheels rolling, moving on. Big wheels rolling, gotta keep them going. Big wheels rolling, moving on.
It's Merle Haggard with Moving On. That was the theme song to the television show. And don't forget that Merle and Willie Nelson also paid tribute to Lefty Frizzell, who was instrumental early on in guiding Merle and influencing Merle.
I'd walk for miles, cry or smile, for my mama and daddy. I want them to know how I feel. My love is real for my mama and daddy. I want them to know I love them so. In my heart your tears start, 'cause I'm happy, and I pray every day for mom and happy and smile. I'd walk for miles, cry or smile, for my mama and daddy. I want them to know I love them so. Chores for my mama and daddy. I want them to live on till they're called. I'd work and slave and never rave to my mama and daddy, because I know I owe them my all. In my heart joy to start, 'cause I'm happy, and I pray every day for mom and happy. And each night I'd walk for miles, cry or smile,
for my mama and daddy, because I know I owe them my all.
Thank you, Kerry. In 2010, Merle released Merle Haggard 2010 that had a couple of memorable gems on it. I'm going to play one for you right now. It's called Mexican Bands.
No savvy Chicano, no savvy Spaniole, learning as fast as I can. I love frijoles, tortillas, and tacos, listening to old Mexican bands. No sabe the lingo, I'm just a gringo, I too like to work with my hands. And early mañana, I'll smoke what I wanna, listen to old Mexican bands. I love the wave and the trumpets and the smell of a Mexican rose. I almost see her sombrero, the glitter and cut of her clothes. And I love old Mexican music, agave makes me dance on my hands. No sabe, amigo, but I love the fandango and listening to old Mexican bands.
Bands from the album Merle Haggard 2010. Merle Haggard, April 6, 1937, April 6, 2016, 79 years old. Rest in peace.
The warden led a prisoner down the hallway to his doom. I stood up to say goodbye like all the rest. And I heard him tell the warden just before he reached my cell, let my guitar play.